T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers fans, you've made the switch after the last pitch to this show for 12 seasons. Welcome to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the International Hyundai Greenfield and Hyundai West Dallas Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final from Arizona, and the results are not good. A Brewers 2-1 loss. And welcome, everybody. It is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, Bill Schmid, Ryan Horvat, and Dino. Well, there's a few things to dissect in this one.
Another one.
Another what?
Another tight battle that you just can't come out on the right end of.
Okay. I didn't know what you were referring to right there. I have some questions about, first of all, the home plate umpire got a little, well, he got a little crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I think
with what he was doing.
I think he left his smart in the ball bag or something.
Well, or he realized, like, he looked up into right field, probably a clock out in right field. Realized that he probably was running out of quarters on the meter and just had to get the thing going.
Or like, wow, it's getting a little late. I need to get to Scottsdale. I mean, come on. All right, we'll start out with the good stuff, and that is Yoli Chacin. The Brewers snapped a 5-game winning streak in his starts with this 2-1 loss. They were 7-2 in his 9 starts coming into this game. So that's a good thing. And 5 in a row, his last 5 starts, the Brewers had won those games. But indeed, not this one. This in large part due to some offense. You give up 2 runs, you're going to win most of those games. And this was one that wasn't included in that most. But the offense did not come to play again. They scattered some hits. You had the RBI from Shaw in the 4th inning after Yelich had doubled. In a one-out later, then, as I said, Shaw knocked him in. And right away, Chacin gave the run right back in the bottom half. But okay, that's a run right there. 5th inning, 6th inning, 7th inning. Chacin 7 full, 2 hits and a run given up. That's an outstanding effort by Yoli Chacin.
That's possibly the best outing by a Brewer starting pitcher all year long.
I think so. It's
Chase
certainly
is the only one to go 7 outside of Chacin tonight.
In terms of the depth and the couple of hits and just the one run, I think so. But then you have the offense not holding up their end of the bargain. You do get into that bullpen. You're thinking that bullpen's tough. The Brewers' bullpen is tough. So is the Diamondbacks. But the Brewers' bullpen is tough because there's Jeffress out there and there's Albers out there and you've got Hader out there, Corey Knebel. And all these guys, and it's a tie ball game. So you probably hold them long enough for the Brewers offense to get on the board, right?
Oh, for sure. Bring in Albers there in the 8th inning, lock it down.
Jeffress, I would have went with the 9th. That, at the very least, is going to get you to extras. And then you had Corey up and running, so he was going to be available.
Need a left-hander? You go to the Lieutenant Dan Jenkins coming in.
He's been Jennings
firing all over here.
Lieutenant
Colonel
Commander.
What is going on here in the first 3 minutes of this program?
So
the board blows up. My mouth blows up.
Instead, what the bullpen featured today in a tie ball game in that 8th inning, and nothing against Taylor Williams, man. This guy, the numbers look pretty decent, don't they?
Yeah, he's taking advantage of being up here.
But no.
Capitalizing on a big spring.
Yeah. But it wasn't Jeffress. It wasn't Albers. It wasn't Knebel. It wasn't Hader. It's time to spin the Brewers bullpen wheel of doom. And it lands on, I'm going to go with Taylor Williams. Got it. All right. Next up, after Taylor Williams walks the leadoff hitter, and eventually he is bunted over to second base. Now we're going to go with Jeffress, right? We're going to go with Albers. Give it another spin.
What's your name there, son?
Stevie.
Who's your guest, Stevie?
Boone Logan.
Got another one. Boone Logan, your guy. Your guy gives up the base hit.
Unbelievable.
And then the Brewers
could've
trailing
that
one.
Coming.
Hold on. We got one more spin left.
Oh,
third,
yay.
Third one's the charm. Now we'll go with Jeffress. Hold it right there for the offense to get a run. Get right back in this game. Get it back to even. I'm going to go with Jorge Lopez.
Are you senile?
Got all three of them. Williams, Logan, and Lopez. The law firm got it done, or didn't get it done, in the eighth inning, and the Brewers go down in this one 2-1. I also got a question. Does Jet Bandy really, really need a bat in his hand in a tie ball game?
Before a guy like Hernan Perez gets a bat in his hand?
Do we really have to go with Jet Bandy with a baseball bat in his hand? Catcher's mitt? Okay. I'm all right with that.
Tyler Saladino, 4-for-8. As a Brewer, he should probably leave him on the bench, too.
Big inside the park homer yesterday, rolling hot, thinking he can catch some lightning in a bottle with Dino Saladino. But it still begs the question, does Jet Bandy really have to have a bat in his hand for the Brewers?
No.
He doesn't?
No, he does not.
Apparently he does.
It was a wild night tonight.
Yeah, this was a tough one, man. 799-1250 if you want to jump in here. Strike zone a little bit iffy. I do have a slight issue on Travis Shaw not running out of pop-up. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about it before. You two guys think that, you can't expect him to run out of pop-up. Come on, it's a pop-up
it's
on the infield.
5 feet in front of the catcher. The bat's in his hand. I'm not going to risk my franchise cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
He's not thinking I got to get two out of this.
Booking out of the box. He's not me in a beer league softball game today.
Why aren't you thinking that you should go? They've had one dropped earlier this year that helped him win a ball game.
Because all I need is Travis Shaw in a game where I'm losing in the ninth inning to pull a hamstring busting out of the box on a ball that's 200 feet in the air.
Well, if I'm his coach, five feet in front of the batter's box. If I'm his coach, he gets the day off tomorrow. You weren't hustling.
All right.
No effort. You had no effort there, Travis Shaw. You popped it up. You should run just in case they drop it.
Right. Now, I agree if this is the Kenosha Shaughnessy U-12 baseball team and you're teaching these kids good habits.
Right.
This is a grown-ass man.
Right. So he should know.
No. He should protect his body because he's making millions of dollars to play baseball for 162 games.
Ryan Horvath, the arbiter in this one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd like to see him run it out, but you just don't see it very often. I'm fine with it either way.
Okay, well,
great.
There you go, Ryan. Defense, thanks. Awesome. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks. Thanks, Switzerland.
I feel like Marty from Major League.
Appreciate it.
Fly ball, caught. Yeah. But no, I mean, I get what both of you are saying. I'd like to see him hustle it out. Especially in a one-run game. But at the same point, I mean, we just kind of come to expect it from guys not to do it anymore.
Second,
I don't want to see him, like, turn an ankle or tear an ACL.
Guys act like running a baseball, running a gap double out is putting everybody in jeopardy.
But whenever
Wilson
there's a
Contreras
major injury,
missed 8 weeks last year because he was going 100% on a ground ball over to second base.
And that's the thing, you know, that's when you see it. Guys get a little bit reckless. Going to home.
Ricky Weeks goes and busts his Achilles trying to run out
a guy never gets injured.
Ground ball.
Like going to make an actual play. Like it's always something fluke like that. Like really fluky. That's how injuries.
Sliding back over to first base after you take a big turn.
You know what I mean? These ACLs are always like non-contact, things like that. So, I mean, I'd rather see him hustle it out, but.
Second base is key in a tie ball game late in the game. Second base is key. Why? Why is second base key?
Because it's in scoring position,
Jim.
There
you go. Bingo. Hit that little dinger. Hit that. Bing. You got it. There you go. You got it right. You do everything you can to get into scoring position. I don't know. That's me.
Yeah.
I know a lot of
Tim's the guy as he's rounding first base and he sees the ball start coming down. He goes, I got it!
No, I wouldn't do that. No, no, no. No, that's a little bush.
I'm just excited when guys actually run it out to first, to tell you the truth, anymore. You see a lot of guys just slam the bat down and just kind of walk right over to the dugout.
Yeah, in a 7-zip game, I get it.
Yeah, get on to the next one.
Right.
Check out the film study and make sure you can come up the guy in scoring position or in a run-one game. Jeez. Goodness gracious.
Who are bringing
it? What on earth?
You want to get over here in this chair,
Ryan?
Can
you just hit a break or something? I can go slap some sense into myself?
799-1250 if you want to chime in here. On any of the above, the bullpen management tonight I thought was, I don't know. But it didn't necessarily surprise me, because when the game is tied or they're down one, entirely different way that Craig Counsell manages that bullpen. It's completely different. It is. It has been all season long. If he's in the lead, he's going for it. He wants to lock it down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. I think there's a happy medium a little bit in there as you got a couple more shots at him, or maybe at least one shot at him, but keep it right there in a tie ball game and just see what happens at that point. And I'm not saying Williams, Lopez, and Logan aren't here for a reason. They are. They're big league pitchers, but didn't work out tonight. Want to get your thoughts on that. And also, Christian Yelich is starting to climb the ladder for me.
That's your new boy.
Well,
definitely after that pop-up where you didn't run out.
All that.
Somebody's getting a demerit.
Yes. Total demerit point on that one. That was Travis Shaw. You're listening to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet postgame show. Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals, we are hashtag MilHockey after a Brewers tough one-run loss, 2-1.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's drive of the game. Driven by Acura of Brookfield, Southeastern Wisconsin's exclusive Acura dealer. Shop online at AcuraBrookfield.com.
All right, 2-1, Brewers fall. You stay up this late and with hours like this, everything seems to upset you. What are we supposed to be happy when they lose? Oh, that's right. We're supposed to be happy when they lose.
Yeah, put on.
See, I'm not wired that way.
We're not supposed to be happy. The man that tells everybody to smile.
Yeah,
smile at your neighbor. Be happy, Tim. They only lost by one.
Oh,
right.
Only one. Well, we got some feedback from Frank that says I sound like him whining. I don't get it.
Putting that nicely, yeah.
I don't get it.
He included some choice language, but we don't want to talk about that on the air.
Oh, he did.
FCC would not like it, but hey.
That's the dude that's crawled up in his mom's basement.
Yeah.
And never calls the show.
Nope.
And has a respectful conversation. Oh, that's one of those guys. Yeah. Big man.
Well, just like JJ that said, Shaw is so chill. He walks all the way to first with a bat in his hand when he should have been on second.
Huh.
There's your guy.
Imagine that.
Look, there's one of them.
If you don't hustle 100% in the big leagues, when do you?
When you're 12 years old learning how to play baseball.
Okay. Well, it may have cost them a game. See? I'm just saying. May have cost them the game. And let alone the bullpen management. I wouldn't have done it that way. I think there's a little different way to do it. I would do it that way if you're down one. But I think if you're tied, I think you still play it out and give your offense shots. So you still play it out with your guns. And Craig Counsell, it's obvious this year, is not going to do that. He's not going to handle his bullpen the same way when it's tied or they're down than when they're winning.
And this conversation isn't trying to go completely against the norm of what you do when you're an opposing team on the road in a tie ball game where you want to save your closer till the end of the game.
No,
we're not talking about Canable. We're trying to talk about your top front line late inning relievers.
Although I would use my closer in a tie ball game on the road, and I've said that for years, because I need to get to extras. That's where I need to get to, or else the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't save him pretending that we're going to score a run and then save him for a save. You got to just hold it right there. For as long as it takes, with your best pitchers, hold it right there. Give them a shot. They did not do that. So I'm not taking calls. You can take calls.
Oh, you don't want to talk to anybody?
No, I'll chime in.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, I'm not taking the calls.
Well, this is going to be fun then. Let's head out over to Cudahy and talk to Roger. Roger, what's going on, man?
Well, I, you know, it was yesterday was the best game of the year, and to follow it up with this, it always hurts. I want to agree with Tim on the bullpen management. And just an FYI, I certainly have not gotten to the point where I don't expect someone to run out that high a pop fly. I mean, the term hustle has been used. My God, that was far from a hustle. Just run the damn thing out. I could easily see that catcher being frazzled enough where he would have overthrown the ball to second and Shaw would have ended up on third.
And then the center fielder would have thrown it into the dugout and it would have been a little league home run.
No,
right,
but
when you're playing over in the U-10s.
Not carry the damn bat to first base. Come on.
In a tie ball game on the road with a pop-up in a game.
Roger with the mic drop.
In a game earlier this year that was helped on a bumble out there in the field on a pop up, I just don't see how this is possible at the big leagues. I'm sorry, and I never have though. This is very consistent. This is not just based on this game, not at all. The only way I can understand it is if there's an injury, if there's an existing injury, where I'd rather have him on the field playing at 80% and on a ground ball roll over to the right side. If you're a left-hander, all right, man, you just, hey, don't hurt yourself anymore. We want you with some ABs tomorrow.
So you want to go attack the problem once there is a problem, the injury is already existing.
Well, we can't pretend that a guy's going to get hurt just because he's running to second base.
But it happens all the time.
It does?
All the time. Across sports.
All the time is up to interpretation. There's 15 games going on tonight. So how many people just on a cruise double where you got to kind of push around first a little bit? Oh, okay, got it. And then you let up a little
Yank
bit.
Yank something up. Came up limp.
Okay. I don't know, man. I can't play the game that way. I can't play the game that way. I wouldn't expect my players to play that way. And if they want to play that way, they ain't playing for me. It's that simple. Because you never know. They always say, you never know what's going to happen when you show up at the ballpark. Never know what's going to happen when the ball is popped up.
You never know when he's going to bust out of the right-handed batter's box and trip over first base and break his nose.
I think analytics play a part here. And the only way I'll agree with you is if you measure the amount of injuries that occur running to first base and rounding first base, then dropped pop-ups.
And drop balls within 5 feet. Okay. I understand that part.
Well, the 5 feet doesn't matter. I mean, it's how high it was what matters.
Okay.
So it could have been to the left of the mound. It still may have worked out the same. So that didn't matter. But I just, to walk there, if he's even jogging or going 3/4% or 75%, 3/4 speed, I think he still has a chance to get to second base. In a tie ball game, on the road, in the ninth inning, where a base hit scores you. And I agree with Roger. If we're going to play the what if the guy gets hurt, then what if the guy would have thrown it into center field? Now Shaw comes flying around third base and scores. Then you're back to even. We're still playing ball. You can take a call.
Oh, we should go to a call? Sorry, it looked like Ryan was going to hit a conversation, but he turned on the hit the wrong microphone, so we're going to go to Mike in Greenfield instead.
I'll get back to it.
Gentlemen.
What?
I think every loss like this is going to bother us, but I thought he's been going with Williams a little too much. What's your thought on that? No thought on that.
No.
Anyhow, you're talking about who he had to put in the game. Yeah, that was frustrating, and I guess that's all I had to say, but they can't win everyone. But this one, I feel like they should have. And if that guy don't run out a fly ball, man, that's a crime. A crime.
Now hold on. Hold on here, Mike. Is it a crime because of how much money he makes, or is it a crime because of this is how the game should be played?
That's how the game should be played. And the second point is he gets enough money to run those outs.
Okay. So it is tied to the money. I do believe that does have a little bit of a trigger to it, which it definitely should. I understand why.
I don't know if it should. It just
does. Or it's
more
understandable, I guess.
It just does.
I definitely understand why it correlates.
I just look at it as the pinnacle level. So that's the way I look at it. Ryan, your thoughts?
I've seen a couple guys get injured running to first base. That's where Bryce Harper had the knee injury a couple years ago, running one out to first. But, I mean, they teach you to focus on the front part of the bag, so your foot's going to hit it, and it's the safest place. So these guys know how not to get injured running the bags. But I don't know, man. You know, you just don't see guys run it out very often anymore. You also don't see guys drop it.
Because it's injury prevention.
It's just stupid.
But I have seen guys actually get injured running into first base. In the pros.
Well, yeah, that happens. It does happen.
And right. So do drop
I was just
fly
giving an
balls
example.
In the infield.
Yeah. I don't know a percentage, but I've seen it happen. I mean, two outs, bottom of the ninth.
Down one, on the road, you're trying to win the series. I get the frustration, don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to go in there and light him up saying, Travis, how are you not running out that play?
No, but I'd say, Travis, what did we learn today? That's what I'd say. What did we learn today, T. Shaw?
I learned that catcher can't catch a fly ball. Can't catch a pop-up.
I learned that you never know. You should have learned that you never know what's going to happen on a pop-up.
And you should have learned when Ricky Weeks busted his Achilles running out a ground ball over to the pitcher, you never know when you're running through the bag.
Well, then we learned that we have to pretend that we should be delicate then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what these guys do. You go. You go until you get hurt or you retire. That's what pro sports is. That's the whole essence of it. You go to perform until you get hurt, and that forces you out of the game, or you retire. If that isn't the level to do this at, then there is no level to do it at. This probably is I better not say that. A topic.
Yeah,
for
we better go to a break before you
we have
say
to break?
So. Yeah, we got a break at this one.
Can we just do a podcast where I can swear?
We do one of those. It's called Tim and Tausch in the Morning. Fan on Demand. John Paul's Buick GMC.
Is that we do.
Yep.
Is that out?
It is out.
Okay.
105.7 FM, thefan.com, Fan on Demand.
All right. Tonight, or I should say this morning, after a 2-1 loss, we are live in the International Hyundai Greenfield and Hyundai West Dallas Studios. Little forward thinking. It's pretty simple. By Forward Financial Partners, moving forward together, FFPWI.com. It's very simple. Effort is always there. Always. He gave up on a play. That's the bottom line. Whether he hustles at 90% or 40%, he gave up on that play. Can we all agree on that?
No.
He didn't give up on that play, carrying the bat to first base.
No.
So what did he...
He conceded it.
Okay, conceded that play.
Yeah, that it was done.
Okay, but it wasn't.
No.
I have a theory. What time's first pitch tomorrow?
Today, 2:40.
2:40. He doesn't want to go into extra innings. You got to get home. You got to get back to the hotel and get some rest, man.
He was lined up. He had reservations waiting.
He's got some drinks to get to. Yeah. We took that drive. He's got some drinks to have in Scottsdale with the home plate umpire.
I just read an article. I mean, I knew the story, but I reread the article about when Michael Jordan went to Atlantic City before the NBA Finals.
Yep.
Played craps for like 10 hours.
Maybe you're too young to even remember that. He took a beating on that story.
See, I do remember it, but I don't remember the media backlash really because I wasn't reading the Sun-Times.
I loved it.
And things like that. Yeah,
shocking.
I loved it too. And he used to play 36 holes of golf.
Did you meet up with him before at AC?
I should have. I think maybe that's those types of stories these days after what happened, this morning or yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. With the gambling thing, they're going to start coming to the forefront. All right, your reaction. Brewers fall 2-1. We'll be back on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's get the scoop from the skipper. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics. Offering athletic scholarships in 9 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Okay, okay, okay. All right, 2-1. 2-1, Brewers fall. 25-18, that's the good news. The bad news is they lose another one-run game and a huge game tomorrow. I'm not taking any calls. Billy's going to bring in the calls. We'll hear from Craig Counsell in just a second here. If you want to chime in, 799-1250. In a little bit, we'll play my favorite. No, I mean, we'll play the game, my favorite.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I thought you were waiting to give us another one.
No.
You are in rare form tonight. I think maybe I've lost the – it loses the luster because we've had so many one-run games. But these nail-biters just bring out the best
in you.
Well,
this is the third game I've lost today.
That's true.
It's been a great baseball
fourth
day.
if you count what happened over at Kern Park tonight.
Oh, with you guys. Yeah. This is the fourth game I've lost today. My son loses a doubleheader to UWM. You lose your softball game and the Brewers lose. But you had a good day, 2-for-3. We'll check that out in the box in just a second.
And I lost the Cavs over, so let's throw that in there.
And Ryan, we are a bunch of losers tonight.
Well, hopefully there's no losers out in Whitefish Bay. Bob, you're next on The Fan. What's up, man?
Well, there's a thing called a yabbit. You know what a yabbit is?
Yeah, but you're going to tell us.
Well, the guy should have run the, you know, the guy wasn't Charlie Hustle, but... Something, yeah, but that's a yeah, but okay. So yeah, the Brewers lost. But.
I think what this comes down to is the younger generation is okay with it, and us old guys are not all right with no hustle.
Well, yeah, but look at this. Look at it this way, Tim. Look at the losses the Brewers have had. Many of them. Like that four-game sweep by the Cubs. Look at their starting pitching, man. Starting pitching has been great.
It's been dynamite.
And, you know, that was everybody said, it's the Achilles heel. Of course, that whooping soccer the other night, you know, what was it, 16-15 or something?
Right, the 11-10.
Yeah, 11-10. But, I mean, these guys are solid. There's the Chassin. Where'd this guy come from?
7 full, 2 hits and a run given up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, it's kind of the silver lining to this thing, but you know, it's a loss. It sucks, but you know, it's gives you a reason for hope.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. Thanks for the call. Rami asked me on the On Deck show today. He said, "Do you wonder sometimes how they're doing this?" At that time, 25-17.
Mm-hmm.
Now 25-18. Still damn good. And you know, I actually do.
Just about every morning.
Every day I do. Like, I look at some of these numbers, sit down at my desk, and okay, let's do some work in the morning and whatever, and start going through some numbers and taking notes and reading things. And you look at where their offense ranks and the run differential and all these things. And you're like, they shouldn't be doing it. They shouldn't be where they're at right now based on this. Okay, let's move over to the defense.
Over to the other one.
Right. You go over to the other one and you say, well, that doesn't help out. They shouldn't be where they're at because this isn't helping. But that pitching, Bob, you're right on the money. This pitching has been doing the lion's share, both starters and bullpen.
Picked up right where they left off last year.
Offense, can you please? A little bit here and there. Please, a little bit. Now they've been doing better on the road here.
It's starting to show why Kane and Yelich were prime targets.
Yeah.
For David Stearns in the offseason. He might have seen a little bit more of this coming than we did.
I think he did. And that's why we were so stunned. Like, whoa, wait a second here. Weren't they supposed to go out and get Arrieta? Boom. Weren't they supposed to go out and get Darvish?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's a bam, bam, just rapid fire 2 days.
Two of the biggest bats on the market.
Yelich and Kane, and you're like, oh, okay. All right. Now you get the pitcher. Nope, that didn't happen. He may have. You might be right. He flying so far under the radar that none of us even would have imagined that was the huge deficiency on this team. Not the bullpen. Although the bullpen, you know, every team does what they did. They go out and get arms. I think bullpens are turned over just about every team every year. But the bullpen and the starters, he had way more confidence than we did. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, that's for sure. Todd's in Watertown.
Howdy, boys. Boy, we sure hit the trifecta on the bullpen wheel of doom today. Oh, my Lord. But, you know, Tim, like you guys are saying, with that low effort by Travis Shaw, I still really believe it's that whole millennial management style. And if, you know, look at all the errors they commit to, it's like, come on. And nobody, Council doesn't call him out. He called out, what did he call out, Arcia this year and somebody else. But he normally never calls anybody out. And I think you're right, Tim. It's like, yeah, we are older guys. I'm, you know, 52. And it's like we look at things just completely differently, that it's not, you know, by committee and you don't need your hand held. Just do your darn job, you know.
You just never know. And I think sometimes, thanks for the call, I think sometimes you can get lulled to sleep by the game of baseball because it's such a, I don't want to say tedious.
That was the word I was
maybe
trying
more
not to use, but yeah.
Methodic. And it happens, Ron Renneke said on a couple of occasions to me that, you know, these guys, you expect them to think at every second, but it's such a slow-moving game that your mind is going to wander. It just does.
That then takes some of the quickest reaction skills in professional sports.
In a nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
In a nanosecond, there's something coming at you at an exit velocity of 110 miles an hour. So you have to stay focused. And I'll tell you, whenever I focus, I don't know about you guys, when I'm super, super concentrating, I get a headache. I do. Not a migraine. I'm not Rami.
You're not going to take off of work?
I'm not going to miss work because of it. No. But
good
I
man.
Do. Just a mild one. Then it goes away when I just loosen up a little bit, take a step back. Craig Counsell said in between pitches is when you get your breather a little bit. You kind of swing your arms a little bit. You kind of, you know, look around a little bit. And then get right back on the horse and focus. So I get that part of it. But I just think there's certain times of a baseball game that are tipping points. And in a 1-1 game, eighth and ninth innings, not the time to take a little holiday here. So that's the time to kind of bear down and focus. Speaking of Craig Counsell, let's hear from Craig Counsell. Scoop from the Skipper. This morning brought to you by Bryant and Stratton Athletics.
Well, it was basically, you know, it was Taylor for two hitters there. And then we were going to go to a lefty, or just depending on, could have been Taylor for one hitter, depending on the pinch hitter. So that's what we were looking at. JJ was down. He's had a stiff neck the last couple of days. He's doing better, but I wasn't going to use him tonight. I didn't want to use Matt for just one hitter, so we went with Taylor for one hitter, and then we're going to go to lefties. And, you know, it's the walk that hurts you there. That's, you know, it's the walk. You just, you think bottom of the lineup, you got to throw strikes to those guys, so the walk ends up hurting you.
Boone, that's the second time now that he's been burned by a ground ball. Just the exact principle.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad luck. I mean, it's a ground ball. It's not, you know, sharply hit necessarily both times. Nothing you can do, really. I think he made a pretty good pitch there. It was down, and he just hooked it in the hole.
Was that as well as you've seen Yoli's pitch?
He pitched outstanding. I mean, it was really, really nice. You know, leadoff hit, you know, one other ground ball hit. I thought that he made the Scalso walk. I thought he made a pitch that could have been called a strike. So he pitched beautifully. And then, I mean, he, you know, threw seven innings strong, you know, really strong. I mean, really had the ability to probably keep going. but it was outstanding performance, yeah.
It's the context, too. I mean, you've got Jimmy down, obviously, Chase down, Zach. He's like your number one guy in pitching.
Well, he's pitching at a really high level. I mean, you know, I think we're on about 7 starts now where he's been throwing the ball really, really well. So, you know, we need it right now, and the length in the game helps us. You know, he did a nice job tonight.
You guys know Zach as well as anybody. He didn't give up much
either. No, I mean, he's a little different pitcher than he was with the Brewers, obviously. But, you know, you're just not getting a lot of it doesn't feel like there's offensive counts. I mean, I thought, you know, Yelly and Travis had back-to-back doubles. And then, you know, that it looked like we had a shot there with, you know, to get something going, man, on second, nobody out that inning too also, but he made some nice pitches, and you know, you don't feel like you ever kind of ahead in the count and look for something. He's willing to go to any pitch, any count, and he doesn't walk, he won't walk you.
Travis is having a nice trip. You feel like he's kind of turned a corner from that kind of funk to end the homestand?
Yeah, he's swung the bat well tonight. You know, the couple line drives and one was caught, but he's swung the bat well.
How Bandy came to be the choice to pinch hit in that spot?
Yeah, Braun's unavailable. Hernan's unavailable. He's got a bad wrist. So we're stretched. So we got a couple guys down, and I wanted to save a versatile player in case we got to something happen. So
what happened to Hernan?
His wrist just kind of swinging the bat the last couple days. It started to bug him. So trying to get him a quiet day today, and hopefully he can respond and be available tomorrow.
Between the bullpen and the bench, a pretty short roster tonight that you have.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to have nights like that. The guys did a good job. I mean, we put ourselves in a position to win, you know. I mean, really, it's a, you know, there's things didn't go our way in that eighth inning. You know, we could have, I think the walk hurt you though. The walk hurt you. The leadoff walk hurt you. Yeah, that's probably the thing you want back.
This play was money. And this is the Potawatomi Big Money Play of the Game. Find your win at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com.
Well, that answers some questions, doesn't it?
Answers the Jet Bandy question.
Yes, it does.
With a resounding, well, I didn't have the ability to play pretty much anybody else, so
nobody else with Saladino.
The bat boy hadn't taken any rips in a couple of days, so we just threw Jet out there.
Saladino was the one that he was going to save in case it did go.
Mm-hmm. In case they needed
extendo
it.
Extendo late game into the 14th inning, and Saladino would have ended up in there at God only knows what position. Okay, so that answers that. And then he also answered with Perez having the wrist thing. That's why Bandy. And then Jeremy Jeffress comes up with an injury. Was that a neck injury, right?
Stiff neck, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, also Matt Albers, another answer we got there. He wasn't going to put him in for one or two batters.
No. He needs him for a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, the challenges just keep coming. And in a few hours, the big money play of the game from Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, is they're going to ask you, the morning guys are going to ask you what it was. And if you're the first person to correctly identify the big money play of the game we give you right now, you'll win some free reward play at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. You could say the Travis Shaw RBI double. Or you could say the Travis Shaw no hustle.
That's what I was leaning towards more of.
Or you could say the Boone Logan RBI base hit given up. There again, Ryan, I want to get you. Well, first of all, we'll clear this up just a bit.
What was
that? Frustrated.
I don't know what that was.
What this Boone Logan thing?
Boone Logan.
Boone Logan is the one you throw out there.
We'll go with Travis Shaw.
Come on.
He had the only RBI. That was an RBI double in the fourth inning. That's Potawatomi big money play of the game.
That was nice of you, Tim.
What?
I know you have a little bit of an evil side, and I know that you were definitely thinking about making it the Travis Shaw hustle play.
Yeah, I was. Ryan Horvat, let me ask you.
Okay.
Managers over the years, and Billy's been with me when we've discussed this.
Yeah.
when you make a good pitch,
right,
and it ends up an RBI base hit, or I've heard countless managers and players say was a good pitch, but the ball ended up way over there, over the wall for a home run. Is that a good pitch?
It could be a good pitch in the wrong situation.
It doesn't sound like that's not the answer he was looking for.
No. I asked him. He's got an answer. I don't think it was a good pitch. If it ends up over the wall over there, that's not a good pitch. You could say, well,
I'll agree
with
that.
You know, I hit my location, but he went down and got it.
I was going to say, if you're hitting location,
I don't like the word good in there.
Are you leaving it hanging? I mean, I've seen good pitches get smashed. I think we all have before. But I tend to agree. Do you put that on the pitcher or on the catcher in that situation usually?
I put it on the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
Remove good. Just however you describe that pitch, remove the word good.
I would go
replace
with
it with well thrown.
It's just maybe a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. He had the right idea.
Okay. Batter was, he hit a spot, but the batter was looking for that pitch. And he got it.
Or you can go with the classic cliche of, hey, man, there are pros over on that other side, too.
It's good talent. He was facing a good hitter right there.
For instance, anytime anybody gets to Kershaw, especially in the postseason, remember when it was Kershaw can't win in the postseason, he can't win the big one. He threw a lot of great pitches that were getting smacked around.
Mm-hmm. Now they just went from good to great pitches.
Well, okay.
See, we're going the wrong direction.
I think a lot of it has to do with the way the teams scout. You know, this isn't 1975 anymore where a guy gets called up and you see a little bit of tape. I mean, you could watch tape on these guys from single A to double A, and especially if you're Clayton Kershaw and you're winning 20 games a year, you know, guys are watching.
I agree with you, and I think guys are more than ever these days looking for a certain pitch on that delivery.
Any slight little thing to see if this guy's tipping his pitch.
And if it's like, what's his name? Boxbringer or whatever his name was. He started out every pitcher or every hitter in the ninth inning with a changeup up.
Yeah.
Do you think next time they're going to look for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course they will.
And it's crazy when you go into the clubhouse after these games, just the technology now, there's like 14 computers, big screen TVs, and they could literally check everything. Like, hey, is this guy's arm going in this motion? And it's crazy the things that they could come up with now. The game's changed and evolved so much in the past 15, 20 years, it's ridiculous.
We see it all the time when we go into the Brewers clubhouse. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing that's on all of the TVs?
Yep.
There's two of them on MLB Network, and there's four of them watching film of that guy, that day's starting pitcher.
Who was it? We were in there a couple of weeks ago. Arcia was at one of the stations looking at that day's starter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall the
And they
starter
just cycle through every at-bat that he's had against current players.
I think more than ever now, they look for a certain pitch in a count. They do, and when they even though he's hitting a spot, he's keeping the ball down. If the guy is looking for it down there and knows basically, you know, what the speed is going to be on that pitch, they're going to get you.
Yeah, and that was my point. You know, I mean, you could call the right pitch.
I just don't like the descriptive word of good. That's always
rubbing. That adjective has an issue.
That should always end in a strike or a strikeout.
The good means good for the pitcher if it was a good pitch.
Right.
Shouldn't be good for the batter.
It's also, I mean, if you're a manager and you're in the post game, though, you don't want to say, oh, man, that was just a really crappy pitch that he threw. Terrible decisioning. Really left that one hanging. They'll always go with, he wishes he could have that one back. That's a nicer way to put it.
That is a much
better
way to
put it. You throw your guy under the bus, especially a pitcher that's going to be making a start in, 4 or 5 days.
We're going to stay on the air until the boys from the morning show get in.
I got a couple good stories we could tell.
I've done it before. Do you guys want to do that?
He said a couple good stories.
No, at some point this year, do you guys want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would do an all-nighter?
There's a stretch in the end of July into August where the Brewers play 4 against the Giants, 4 against the Dodgers. One of those West Coast games is going to be the all-nighter. It's the all-night party mix on the Fan.
No, seriously, you want to?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm down.
The wife's okay with that?
She probably prefers it. Remember the whole towel thing?
Oh, that's right. She does prefer it.
She wants to get this guy out of the house as much as possible.
Sports Flash coming up with Ryan Horvath. Brewers fall tonight 2-1. A tough Game 2 loss in Arizona as the MASS unit continues, also known as the 2018 Brewers. You're listening to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHawk.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by Dave & Buster's Wauwatosa. Eat, drink, play, and watch sports.
You're going to leave that dude on hold. How long has he been holding on?
You've been in radio a lot longer than me, Timmy. So we don't talk about numbers. We don't pin a number on it. But a long time. Tim, New Berlin, what's going on, buddy?
Really great. How are you guys?
What's happening?
So, Tim, just like always, I agree with you 100%. This is a hard loss, but I also think the biggest thing in the game that happened was Sean out running to giving it all 110%.
No, well, first of all, I'll keep you here because you held on. So I can handle the 9-0 loss far better than a 2-1. Far better. Yeah.
No, like I said, I agree 100% like with you. And that, you know, I'm an older man too. I'm 42 years old, so I definitely understand that, you know, old school versus new school and being millennial, and you know, I understand Braun and his injuries and everything, but you have to give 110% no matter what.
Yeah, good call. Call the best call.
Best call of the night?
Yeah, best call of the night.
Is millennial now becoming like the hip, trendy word to use?
Yeah, and I think it's actually living its course. I think it's on the tail end of its usage.
Oh, I don't think so.
No? Mm-hmm.
I think it's just getting worse and worse. I read a report the other day, and it's like, millennials taking over all the jobs. And I'm like, yeah, because they're in their 20s. That's what happens when you get out of college.
That's what happens.
You go to work.
Join the workforce.
I'm no doctor, but as the years go by, right. You tend to get older.
I mean, I would love to just be sitting in my parents' basement, like, I'll get a job in 5 years. But, you know.
We'd all love to. I'd love to move back in with my folks right now. I absolutely would. I would. Don't have to buy any toothpaste and shampoo, and dinners are made for you, and you don't have to clean anything. I'd take that. But I think that is really, I thought it was on its way out. I thought it was in the same timeline as the term transparency.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of popped up here as one of the words that everyone is using.
But the thing is, millennials use it as like a badge of honor. Raising my hand, I'm one of them. And all they ever talk about is, oh, well, we're millennials, so we're different. We think differently than other people. No, you're just human beings.
I just think of it as younger, the next generation.
Right. We get a bad rep because you'll see like a couple out to dinner and they'll both be on their cell phones rather than communicating through conversation. And I think that's where we get a bad rep. When you see a 4-year-old child in a restaurant with an iPad and you can't afford one yourself, because that's my kid. Just to keep him quiet, you know, if we want to go out and have a nice dinner.
Throw the iPad in his face.
He's watching YouTube. And
man,
you're
a great parent.
I feel like a terrible parent. And it's funny because we were having dinner. Jesus, I feel 50. We were having dinner with another couple, and they were like, yeah, our kid will never be that kid that, you know, you see out to dinner at a restaurant, and he's sitting there with his iPad. We like to communicate in our family. And I'm like, yeah, same here, as my kid's watching, like, a YouTube video where a guy's karate fighting another guy.
So is that what you guys do in your spare time is go out and, you know, have, like, wine tasting parties and pair up cheeses with other couples?
No, we were actually watching a UFC fight because I wanted to watch it. So
okay.
There we go. Okay. All right. This is my guy over here. And you had some action on that UFC fight, didn't you?
I
can't actually bet UFC. I did one time, okay? Quick story. And it was the Ronda Rousey fight when she actually lost to Holly Holm.
Oh, and she got her ass kicked.
Yeah, she just got kicked in the face like 15 times.
It was bad.
So I was like, I've never actually thrown down money. I did one time before that. I bet money on Brock Lesnar, and he won the heavyweight title. So I threw down some money. I was like, she's not going to lose. This is their biggest, you know, face of the company. You don't want her to lose. And, yeah, she got beat really bad, and I lost a lot of money on that because the money line was just ridiculous. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to claim I know mixed martial arts anymore. I'm just going to stay away with this, stick with
football. Now, were you watching this at a dinner or something?
No, I was. This one I was watching at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I used to order them, but they're like $50-$60. And the problem with UFC, like if you're going to order a boxing match, you could expect, you know, 10 to 12 rounds, right? UFC fight, you could turn on the main event and it could last 4 seconds.
Yep.
I saw McGregor knock out a guy in like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I waited for it, you know, for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You spend the $60, boom, it's over like that. It's cool to see.
Well, and that's like this guy's super slam or his wrestle slams.
Right, yeah.
And all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's the same thing. I mean, but only then
you get
a lot.
Oh, no. Oh, no, baby.
You're getting a ton. Right.
Max work for your dollar. You're getting bang for your buck. Because these matches are all going 20, 30 minutes.
It's almost too long now. WrestleMania is like 13 days long.
Yeah, WrestleMania was a long show. I had to take a nap in the middle of it.
It starts on Monday and ends like the following like Thursday.
Yeah, the next WrestleMania is going to feature Boston versus New York, Yankees against Red Sox. They're going to go at it. You guys were mentioning the phone, the millennials. Okay, mm-hmm. So this was, now we've gotten used to it, the older generation. Especially with sports. I mean, we've gotten used to it. But that was tough. Sparky and I grew up through this whole trend or this whole change, if you will. Sitting at dinner with him when he first got hooked on it. Now, he's hooked. We all know that,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Gone. Totally.
So we'd go out and have a bite to eat, him and I. And you'd have to repeat everything twice to him because he was on that phone. And I'd be incensed. I'd want to grab the phone and smash it right into his nose. I really would. But that was the relationship that was going through our show, and we would go out to dinner and the whole deal. He has signed on to it. He's a little bit younger than I am, 10 years or so younger than I am. So I think he's adjusted to it a little bit better. Me, I guess I have, sort of. Compared to the millennials, no. You guys do everything on your phone. I would prefer not to, but I have to. So there's, again, another difference. It's not just difference in technology. It's difference in philosophies. And it does delve right into sports here.
Mm-hmm. Big time it does.
It's looked at differently by generation. Now, the generation before me may have looked at baseball. Let's just say baseball, for example, since, I don't know, this is a baseball show, right? Or is this a morning show?
Baseball postgame show. That's what it is. Yep.
Well, mm-hmm. We could morph it into a morning show.
There's the Baseball on Deck show on this station, too.
But if you look at the generation before me, they may have said the same thing to me when I would be like, wow, look at the baseball players. They're going to the bullpen. It's the sixth inning. That's a great move.
Yeah.
And the generation before me would say, oh, these guys would pitch 300, 400 innings in a season. Why are they doing that?
Every generation is worse than the one that came before them, right? That's how it always kind of goes. You always point that there's something that you don't like about those young pups coming
in. The rock and roll music.
Yeah, I'm not
They're
offended.
Hip shaking.
I'm not necessarily offended by it, though. I think a lot of older guys are.
Well, I will say that's because you're a little bit cooler than a lot of older gentlemen that I'll meet. You're a lot more hip. You were wearing skinny jeans in here the other day.
Well, I mean, you know.
Hey, you got it, flaunt it, baby. That's what they say, right? You know what? I remember when Twitter first came out, I was dating a girl, and she's in the media as well, and she's into hard news. She told me about Twitter, okay? So Facebook, I'm trying to keep this PG, gentlemen. She told me about...
It's after midnight,
Facebook, probably like my last year of college, it kind of blew up, and I had it, and you could kind of like, if I was looking for a homework assignment, I could find guys on campus, and you could check girls out and whatnot. But Twitter came around, and I was like, okay, what's the point of this? And she's like, well, it's like Facebook, but you only have, you know, so-and-so, this many characters, and you just kind of tweet how you're feeling. So she'd be like, woke up today, gonna eat breakfast. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. Yes. But then all of a sudden I saw that I could get scores on there. This guy goes on the DL, I could get that on there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the opening line for the NBA Finals. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
But you have to, at the same time, and this is what incenses me about Twitter, is that you have to sift through all the, I woke up and here's what I had for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
And when it was first in its infancy, too, that was before iPhones were everywhere and everybody had a full computer in their pocket. Sometimes you were still hitting four times on seven to get an R in a text message, where you could subscribe to people's tweets and then they would come as a text message as a way so you didn't have to sift through all those things.
Yep.
But when I totally understand what you're talking about, Ryan, because when it first started, people would make fun of you're on Twitter.
It was just
really?
Like a status. It was like an update status. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, oh, well, I'm going to third period. Should be fun in math class.
No. And for the older generation, the 50 and up crowd, man, get an iPhone and set yourself up with Twitter. Follow all the sports people you want. It is really super beneficial.
It really is.
But in the same breath, my dad has an iPhone. I think the guy's got three apps on his phone. The fan app, the weather app, and the internet. And that's all he needs.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't do any banking. He doesn't none of that stuff.
I actually hate having my banking account on my iPhone. I'm not going to lie. I get nervous.
I don't know. I don't have the... Come on. I can't do all that.
We should get him on.
Father's Day.
We'll break it down.
We'll get him on.
He was on last year, I think, on Father's Day.
I think so.
Oh, Tim. Thanks, man.
All right. Well, there was a Brewer game tonight, and they lost. And just to wrap all this stuff together, I can handle the 9-0 loss, and that was weird. Remember that show, the 9-0? I think it was game three against the Pirates.
Against the Pirates when that dude called you out.
I think people expected me to go off, or us to go off, and be a little bit more disturbed about a 9-0 loss.
They were waiting for the Tim Allen rant warning to come out. We're still just on a watch.
We're still on a watch, offensive watch. Everything else is sort of okay, but the offensive slump watch, it's definitely growing in severity.
So the conditions are favorable, though, for the offense to bust out here.
Oh, yeah, the radar's not looking good. It's still only May 15th, but the radar doesn't indicate that there's sunny weather coming to this offense. But we'll see. They can turn things around. But the 2-1 losses, a loss like this where it's so strategic, those are the tough ones. Those are the tough ones. Let's check out a couple of numbers in this one. Inside the Box brought to you by Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. Eat, drink, play, and watch sports.
Base hits for Christian Yelich, Jesus Aguilar, Travis Shaw, along with Manny Pena and Yolis Chacin. The only 5 hits for the Brewers today, multiple strikeouts, 3 of them for Jonathan Villar in an 0-for-4 day. Average drops 10 points to 272, 2 strikeouts from Domingo Santana, Christian Yelich, and Aguilar as well. The pitching lines, Chacin was awesome tonight. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, couple of walks, and 7 Ks. Everything was working for Yolis Chacin tonight, Timmy.
Yeah, and they fall to 25-18. I noticed in USA Today's power rankings in MLB, they had jumped 3 spots to number 8. I don't know where they're going to be. Well, the week is just getting going here, but that's not bad. 8th in the power ranking, at least according to USA Today. We are going to lighten things up just a little bit and play my favorite next here on The Fan.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's today's are you kidding me moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. This is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball Postgame Show, presented by Milwaukee Admirals Hockey. We are hashtag MilHockey.
On The Fan. Tim, Billy, Ryan Horvath, Dino, the A-team here. 2018 championship season. We're enjoying the ride despite a tough loss tonight.
Yeah, despite a little detour. We had to take a roundabout way to get here tonight.
We did.
A little construction, road closed.
That's true. There was a fire downtown. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I drove past it maybe 30, 40 minutes before it ended up happening. And I didn't know about the fire until, what, 4 hours after it happened?
You didn't start it.
We were hanging out at the UWM game, and our friend came on with the news at 6 o'clock, and whoa, there's a fire burning down
church
on 9th and State.
30 minutes before the call came in?
Couldn't have been more than 30, 40 minutes beforehand. I was right next to it.
I wouldn't say you're a suspect, but maybe a person of interest.
So I probably shouldn't be talking about this on the radio?
No. Okay. You've already had the cops come out here for you.
Now that was the "are you kidding me" moment of the day.
When you accidentally called 911.
Oh, I did that too. You did that?
It was horrible.
Here?
Yeah, I've done it too. I'll explain.
Already?
Cops come out?
Yeah. I had to go out there and talk to him and just tell him I'm an idiot. I was so nervous too. I was like, I gotta get out there before any of the bosses see that I accidentally did this.
Oh no, the best thing was Tom Parker came in here and got me for when I did
it. Our boss.
Was he mad at you?
No, he just walks in here and goes, "So you're the genius that called the cops."
Yeah.
It's kind of an honest mistake to make, though, because I don't know. I mean, nobody cares, but I've done it too.
It's a certain code that we hit to dial out, and then if you don't do it right, it sort of dials in.
Or if you're just an idiot and you hit 911.
Well, I have family that lives all around the world, too, so I always have to dial one area code because I'm old school like that. You know what I mean? So I just did it out of habit, and then I was like, I thought somebody was messing with me because I was actually calling a guest for the show. And they're like, 911, emergency. What's your emergency? And I'm like, I'm just trying to talk bucks here.
I need a guess for 715.
Jabari only played 14 minutes last night.
Is Gary Wolfel around?
the Bucks are 1 of 18 from three-point land.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, are you kidding me? Moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing. And I would say that it is the injuries we didn't know about. You see, I threw you. You thought I was going Travis Shaw, not hustling out a pop-up?
Yeah, Jeremy Jeffress being out with a sore neck. That's
a tough one.
That I did not see coming.
Perez, a little bit of a wrist issue.
Understandable why Jed Bandy got to swing the bat there in a pinch hitting role. But
does
I mean,
answer some questions for sure.
But can we be honest? Once again, Jed Bandy, awesome dude. Let's start looking at trying to maybe have a better option as a backup catcher.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Do you think we can do that?
Stephen Vogt, by the way, his season is officially done. He is going under the knife, shoulder surgery.
So he's not going to fill in for Jed Bandy?
No, that won't happen. Okay. There is Nottingham.
Christian
Bethencourt. There is him.
Mario Feliciano down at Advanced A-Ball.
Guys, Bethencourt is not going to surprise me if you see him soon. Won't surprise me
at all. He
had
a big spring.
Yeah, so watch for that. All right, time to get to my favorite. It's time for My Favorite Brewer. Starring Ryan Horvath. Special guest Dino. We'll start out with Bill Schmid. 2018
so much pressure.
Championship season has been a ride. It's been a roller coaster ride. And you step up to the little podium here, and you choose now your new favorite brewer.
Brandon Woodruff.
Get out of here.
Yeah, 1-0. He's starting tomorrow in the biggest game of the year. Number 53, Brandon Woodruff.
It is the biggest game of the year.
Tim, I think me and you have the same one. So I'm going to switch
you. Okay, all right.
I'm going to change it.
I thought he was jumping on a turn here. He didn't get introduced up to the podium.
I'm going to give you my favorite brewer all time, Ben
Our next
Sheets.
Contestant hails from Creston, Iowa. He's 6 foot, 168 pounds. His name is Ryan Horvath, your favorite brewer.
Travis Shaw. Favorite brewer of all time, Ben Sheets.
Ben Sheets.
I used to love him, and I don't know why.
Tim met his wife in an elevator.
I did.
Wait, say that again?
I met his wife in an elevator.
Okay.
Did you say had?
I thought that's what he said.
I did too.
I'm like, what time is it?
No, that one. We're safe harbor.
Dino.
Dino! You're next up on My Favorite Brewer.
I think it would only be right to go with Tyler Saladino.
Dino
Saladino.
Saladino. Dino hails from Racine, Wisconsin. Graduated from Catholic Memorial. I don't know. Is that right?
Nope.
Racine St. Catherine's.
There it is, baby.
Okay. And one of your teammates was drafted by the Texas Rangers.
Derek Heffel.
He was. So Saladino, get out of this Saladino stuff. Who is your 2018 favorite brewer?
Zeus. Big Zeus.
Big Zeus.
Jesus Aguilar. All right.
Okay. Now, I can see it.
We come up to Tim Allen from the fresh confines of Kenosha, Wisconsin, born and raised. Mm-hmm. Tim, who is your favorite brewer?
It's the best baseball player on the baseball team.
Jonathan Villar?
Sogard?
It's not. One would think Lorenzo Cain. One might think it, like last year, my favorite brewer, Travis Shaw.
Your longest reigning favorite brewer? Maybe Ryan Braun?
No. No.
He's got a new one, fresh off the board.
Double Deuce. Christian Yelich. You've been listening to my favorite brewer on The Fan. See, we can all do therapy together and end with a smile on our face after a Brewers 2-1 loss. Was so sad, though.
It was sad. I'm just so mad at him. I'm just so mad at him for not running to second base. What the? Jeez.
Pop my cord.
I almost just went deaf in here.
Pop the cord right out of my headphones. There we go. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow, only it won't be this late. It will. We promise. Well, I shouldn't, shouldn't say that.
Just stop right there.
Yep, I shouldn't say that. But it shouldn't be as late as we are now. 2:40 first pitch, and after the last pitch, you make the switch right over here. Hopefully talking about a Brewers victory and a series victory over the Diamondbacks would be a huge win.
You win tomorrow, you're guaranteed at least be 500 on a 10-game road trip. That's something big.
With three to play and facing an off day on Thursday.
And you're going up to a place that, for some reason, has been very, very mean to you the last couple of years.
Just that team has been.
Mm-hmm.
They really have been. So, Ryan Horvath, it was fun.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
I like the story off the air. Just a little insight, peek behind the curtain here. I like the story off the air that your son pooped on the floor.
My wife didn't like that story too.
No, she. Now everybody knows the story.
Oh,
not
I'm
only
so
your
glad
father.
I don't have kids.
Yeah, I mean, if I can't tell my dad something, then who could I tell, you know?
Dino, off the air, I love your sentiment on Gary Wolfel.
Thank you, thank you. Great, great guy.
And Billy, we didn't get your line on the softball game tonight.
2-for-3 with a walk, a couple of runs knocked in.
Oh.
Hustle double.
Got hurt a little bit.
A little. I have finally scraped myself up for once in a while. I my body craves contact, and I haven't had it in a while, so I ran into the second baseman, took him out.
I don't like this softball these days, guys, just so you know. This whole 50 minutes is rather stupid, isn't it?
What I mean, do you mean been, that it should be it's shorter?
It's been years since I've played softball. When I played softball, it was 7 innings. Played 7 innings.
Mm-mm. No, you got to keep those workers on their tight schedule. We will be out no later than 7 o'clock. The game needs to be done at 7 o'clock because the next game will start at 7 o'clock. Not 7:01, 7 o'clock.
The new
umpires
are coming
in. That is when the game begins.
Oh, we almost forgot our new intern. Thank you, Big Hannah Lewandowski, behind the glass over there. Intern just back from Syracuse. So she'll be interning for
she'll be in pretty
summer.
Much the whole summer.
Yep, goes to Syracuse and the communications.
Dino's training industry. Her well back there.
Very good, Dino. All right, for Dino, Ryan Horvath, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmidt, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. Very strange show today. Had some fun here. Despite the loss and smile, Milwaukee, the world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.